On Mother's Day, I talked about how important it is to bless your children. Today, I want to talk about the same theme. The story of Esau and Jacob and their parents, Rebekah and Isaac, is a laboratory for marriage and family therapists, as you can imagine. Full of family issues. Maybe you know some of them. Sibling rivalry. Parents identifying more with one child than another. Children and parents forming alliances that pit the father and mother against one another. Disputes over who gets what when everything is done, you know. And the emotional hinge of the story really is the last part that I didn't read. Let me share it with you. It's Esau's cry, a cry for the blessing. The last part. After Isaac finished blessing him, and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, Esau came in. He too had prepared some food and brought it to his father, and then he said to him, "My father, sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." Isaac asked him, "Who are you?" "I'm your son, your firstborn son, Esau." Isaac trembled and said, "Well, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came in. I blessed him, and indeed, he will be blessed." And when Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud cry. And he said to his father, "Bless me too. Bless me too, Father." "Well, your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing." "Isn't he rightly named Jacob?" It's got to be the worst cry in Scripture, isn't it? "Give me your blessing too, Father. Can I have a blessing too?" He didn't get one. Now, what do you think about Rebekah and all this? Yeah, she's pretty tricky, isn't she? Dressed her son Jacob to trick his father, cheat his brother, made the meal, and it worked. And Jacob had got the blessing. It worked. And when Esau returned, his father said, "You know, who were you? I just blessed who I thought was you. I ate it all before you came in. And I blessed your brother instead." So why couldn't it just be fixed? I mean, why didn't he just call that rascal Jacob in and say, "You know, it's up. Gotcha. Your brother came in and we figured it all out. Well, in the world of Isaac, that wasn't possible. Once a word was spoken in Hebrew times, and still today, once a word is spoken, it can't be taken back. It's been spoken. You breathed it. And it's holy breath. And you can't take it back. Words are powerful, aren't they? And the Hebrew people recognized the power of your word. It was a solemn vow. Once it was spoken, it was spoken. Pretty powerful. It used to be in our country, people would be held to their word. If you said it, I believe it, and you'll honor it. Right? Not so much today. We hear lots of words, and they don't have nearly the kind of power behind them. But in that day, they had power behind them, and once they were spoken, they couldn't be taken back. And it left Esau in anguish. What about me, Father? Don't you have a blessing for me? I mean, can't you just do another one? No. And isn't that what all of us are looking for? You know, one of the things that I think all of us want is the blessing of our Father. All of us desire that. Reba McEntire wrote it in a ballad. It's called "The Greatest Man I Never Knew." That's a painful title, isn't it? The Greatest Man I Never Knew. And she wrote these words: "The greatest man I never knew lived just down the hall. And every day we said hello, but we never touched at all. He was in his paper and I was in my room. How was I to know he thought I hung the moon?" The greatest words I never heard. I guess I'll never hear. The man I thought would never die has been dead almost a year. He was good at business. But there was business yet to do. He never said he loved me. I guess he thought I knew. And how many parents think their kids hung the moon but never tell them? How many kids don't know it because the parents never said it? The greatest words a son, a daughter can hear are the words that let them know that they have their parents' blessing of unconditional love. You think they know it, but they need to hear it, Dad. They need to hear it. They need to be told that they have your unconditional love. I'm proud of you, not for anything you've achieved. I'm proud of you because of who you are. I expect you to do and to be your best, and through discipline and guidance, I'm going to draw some boundaries for you, and I'm going to expect you to stay within the boundaries, and if you don't, well, you'll get punished. I also want you to know that my love for you is not contingent upon how well you do. I'm proud of you. I love you. I delight in you. Can you say those words? Not because of what you've done, but because of who you are. So do right, be your best, strive your hardest. Remember that no matter where you go or what you do, good or bad, right or wrong, I will always, always, always love you. Always. Right? Bless the child. I don't care how old they are. If they're this small or if they're this big, bless your children. Bless them. It's the gift of unconditional love, and it's spoken. The New Testament calls it something. It's an amazing thing what the New Testament calls it. Do you know what the New Testament says it is? Love, but also uses the word grace. The words every child needs to hear. Whether or not this hunger is satisfied is one of the most critical factors in a child's life. I guarantee it. It's huge. Some of you never got the blessing. You never heard it. You never got it. And you're crying out, why not me? Why not me? Can't you bless me too? Our lives are shaped by the presence of or absence of the blessing. It has to be heard. It has to be said. Someone's got to say the blessing out loud, but all too often the blessing doesn't get spoken. Just like the poem by Reba McEntire, the blessing never gets said. Too many of us fathers, we have this sincere, well-intentioned way of being providers. And, well, we showed our love. We took care of our family. We did what we were supposed to do, right? And so we're recognized as the providers. And we think that's enough. Let me tell you, it's not enough. Sure, that's our way of showing love by providing for our family. But your family needs to hear it. And you need to say it. It doesn't mean we're bad fathers. I don't want you to hear that. In fact, very good fathers provide for their children, love them, nurture them, educate them, support them. It's just that we're afraid to tell our children that we love them unconditionally, no matter what. Some psychologists say the reason fathers are afraid to do this is they delight in them and they think that their children might actually lose the incentive for excellence if we tell them that they're wonderful. You know, it kind of drives them on. We can sort of hold it out there like a carrot, you know, and make them pursue so that they become better. If you know that you're loved unconditionally, then you won't try to become anything better, right? So you hold the carrot out there, that blessing that you don't give, it's held out there, and it pushes your children. And we think we're doing something good for them. I mean, if they stop studying or behaving or striving to please you, then the assumption is based on the idea that the children's real incentive to do the right thing is the desire to earn the parent's smile. And it is, in many cases. Children are out there trying to earn their parents' love. And they think, if I do this and this and this and this and this, and somewhere along the way, my dad's going to say he loves me. So I keep trying. Right? I just want to see him smile. Because that means I'm doing good. So if you smile, then they'll quit trying and they won't try to earn it and they won't become better and you want to drive them. So we manifest this in simple ways. Father never says I love you unless the child has just achieved an enormous accomplishment. So you do something great and then the father says, right? I love you because you've done something. Right? Is this how we do it? And then they get the praise and they get the adoration and they get the... So if I do something then that's worthy of my Father's love, then my Father will tell me that they love me. Parent looks at the report card. It's got A's, B's, and 1D, and all the conversation is about what? Yeah! Can't you do better? And we hold the blessing out of reach just a little bit. Because you're not quite good enough yet. Best way to keep your child striving, stretching. In their hearts, they love their children unconditionally, but they never say it. In their hearts, they know that they need to give them the blessing. But I got to tell you, there are some children who never, ever, ever get the blessing of their parent. It's devastating. Some believe that the reason fathers don't give the blessing is because they didn't get it from their own fathers. So what happens is generation after generation, fathers refuse to speak the blessing of love to their children because they never got it, so they don't give it. And the children grow up without having received the blessing, so what do? They don't give it either. And they spend their adult life still trying to make mommy and daddy proud. They're all grown up. They've got children of their own, but they're still wishing for the blessing, and they're still hoping that somewhere along the way they can make their mom or dad proud. My father never got the blessing and didn't give it to me. I was asked one time, what was it that spurred you to want to go to Oxford? You applied, you got accepted, you went to Oxford, you studied there. You know why I went? Get a good education? You know why I went? I thought my dad would be proud of me. And I told him I had been accepted. You know what he said? Well, that's all the way over the big pond. Long way from home. Hope you make it all right. And when I told him I was going into ministry, oh my. There's not a whole lot of money to be made in that business, is there? I mean, you know, you went to Oxford, you ought to make something of yourself. Right? But I guess if that's what you want to do, that's fine. I hope you make it all right. Always hoping he'd be proud of me. Never getting the blessing. Finally, I got it. My dad was visiting me. I was pastoring a little church in Kentucky at the time. And we went to Shakertown. I don't know if any of you have ever been there. It's a beautiful little area in central Kentucky, south of Lexington. The Shaker furniture and all of the Shaker traditions, it all comes from this little area and this little region. So we were in Shakertown, and we had a meal, and we were in the library. And I often look at books because that's kind of a passion of mine. So I'm in the bookstore, or in the library section of the bookstore, and looking through the stacks of books. And I hear my father talking to the clerk. And the clerk asked him, "So what brings you to Kentucky?" And he said, "Well, I'm here visiting my son. He's a pastor just up the road from here." And he said this, "I'm so proud of him." Well, I'm melted. I'm standing behind the books crying. Never heard it. Never. Till now. So, Dad, what about you? Maybe you didn't get it. Can you break the cycle? You know? Break it. Give the blessing. Tell them you love them. Tell them you're proud of them. Tell them that it's unconditional. And nobody's going to get it all right. We don't always do the best job at parenting, but I think it gets broken by looking at the best example of love. You know, the love of the Heavenly Father, the modeling of that love in your own parenting. Once you and I understand that God's settled position towards us is this unconditional love, once you get that, then we call that grace. We're at the beginning of the end of the cycle, and the blessing gets given. Sometimes you didn't get it from your dad, but you're going to get it from your Heavenly Father. It's a blessing of God's love for you, not because of what you've done. Do you get it? God doesn't love you because of what you've done. God loves you. Period. God loves you. We call it amazing grace, because we know we're not worthy of it, but God loves us anyway, in spite of the mistakes we've made. It's unconditional love. It's the purest form of love. It's a gift. It can never be earned, only given. God gives God's love, not because we're good, but because God is a loving Father. Are you seeing this? And you give your love to your children not because they're good, but because you're a loving Father. You just do it. We're the object of God's love, but we don't deserve it. God simply loves us and blesses us by grace, the gift that can't be earned, received. Once you hear that the center of your soul, you know, and you get that, believe it or not, what happens is you start blessing other people, because you've been blessed by God and you realize that that's how you live. It's not just your children, but everybody else. And you know what? You don't lose the incentive to live a moral or honest or pure life because you know God loves you. It makes you want to do better, right? You don't lose that. We think our children might lose it somehow. You don't become nonchalant about serving God and following Jesus and helping others because you know that you don't have to earn God's love. You just want to do it because you know God loves you. Once you really hear and believe the gospel of grace, you're so filled with this grateful wonder that God loves you, and that God loves you so purely that just because you are makes God smile. You don't need any other incentive to live your life for God. No promise, no reward, no threat of punishment. You love God because God loved you first. Good theology of grace. It sets us free to bless our children. Free to give unconditional love. Because we finally realize we've got it. You got it from your Heavenly Father. You've got it. So how many of you need the blessing? Maybe your father's not here to give it. God is. It's the ultimate blessing. Won't you receive it? And once you've heard it and trusted it and believed it, I think you'll be on your way. And you'll want to become a blessing to others. There's someone you know who's dying to hear your blessing. So say it, won't you? Let's pray. God, your love for us, a father's love, is deeper than we can ever begin to imagine. Help us to tap into your love and offer that love, that grace, freely to others. Thank you for blessing us today. For accepting us and loving us in spite of our failures, which of course you know all of them, and love us anyway. And help us to take that which we've received from you and give it away to others, especially our children, so that they might know that they are loved. And then pass it along. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So where are you today? Are you at a place where you'd like to make a new decision, perhaps, knowing about God's love for you? I hope that you don't leave here without taking something with you. God's love. Maybe you never got it from your dad. I hope you get it from your Heavenly Father today. And you can hear Him say to you, I love you.